بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن والاه وبعد. Okay, today this is going to be our 16th session, reading from lessons in Arabic language. Level 4, Dr. Fa Abdul Rahim, Islamic University of Medina, Arabic Language Institute. Before we start the lesson today, the new lesson 23, I just want to make a note that the time change in the class was only for those who are in daylight savings time zones. Otherwise, the class is at the same time, except that those of us who are in daylight savings time zones had to move the clock ahead 1 hour. So normally our class is from 4 to 5:30, but if you had to move your clock, then it's 5 to 6:30. Otherwise, the time is really the same time. That being said, there will be a real time change, a time slot change, during the month of Ramadan. So because of the difficulty of having the class just before Maghrib in Ramadan, especially for those who have things to do, especially at home and cooking and preparations and things like that. So we find that in Ramadan it's necessary to make both of the classes in the earlier time of the day, so people after the class still have time left to do things that have to be done. So there will be a time change, not this coming week, but the following week once Ramadan starts, the time slot for this class as well as the first session, the earlier session, the level 3 class, they will both be between Dhuhr and Asr. There won't be any class after Asr. Both classes will be between Dhuhr and Asr. So I just want to note that just in case, yani, somehow we forget to mention it. Okay, let's get right into the lesson because we have a lot to cover. This lesson is not really, really long, but it's going to take at least 3 sessions. So today what we hope to do is just complete the reading of the English key, and then in the next 2 sessions hopefully we'll be able to go through the Arabic section, Arabic explanation, the Arabic dialogue at the beginning of the lesson, and the exercises. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. So let's go straight to the English key, page 101, the bottom half of the page. Which says lesson 23. In this lesson we learn the following. Number 1. Okay, so before we do number 1, because of course number 1 is the core of the lesson, so there are going to be several points in number 1, and from amongst those points, Danny, are the points that we normally cover: the past tense form, the present tense form, the fi'l amr, the masdar, and the ism fa'il. Ism maf'ul, ism makan, and ism zaman. So that's what we normally cover for any new bab of the thulathi al-mazid. We cover those aspects, yani, and how you formulate, yani, how you change the past tense to the present tense, how you formulate the fi'l amr, what is the pattern for the masdar, and so on. But in this bab, there's also something extra, and that is what's called al-ibdal, yani, where certain letters will be exchanged for other letters. This is really, really important. It's not really that difficult, but it does require, yani, that a person examine it carefully and look at the rules. So there are 2 basic rules, and then, yani, other than those 2 basic rules, there's also a 3rd rule when the first radical is waw. So there are, yani, I guess we can say there are 3 rules related to al-ibdal, and we're going to talk about those, yani, in just a moment. So let's start reading page 151 of the English key for lesson 23. In this lesson we learn the following. Number 1, bab if ta'ala. If ta'ala. And again, I mean, this is something that's well known. Yani, the fa represents the first radical or the first root letter. The ayn represents the second radical or the second root letter. And the lam represents the 3rd radical or the 3rd root letter. And anything besides the fa, the ayn, and the lam, these are, yani, extra letters that are added to the root form of the verb in order to modify its meaning. Okay, so this is bab if ta'ala. In this bab, I or kasra is added before the first radical, meaning hamzatul wasl with the vowel kasra is added before the first radical, the first root letter represented by fa, and ta after it, and ta is added after the first root letter represented by fa. So the first root letter represented by the fa, and on the pattern of if ta'ala, the first root letter is before it is added hamzatul wasl with kasra, and after it is added the letter ta. For example, from the verb nadara, yani the fa in if ta'ala is represented by the first radical noon, and the ayn, yani that represents the second radical in this verb, is the letter va. And the lam in this verb nadara, the lam represents the third root letter, third radical in this verb, it is ra. So we have noon, va, and ra. On the pattern of ifta'ala, we're going to add hamzatul wasl with kasra before the noon, and we're going to add ta after the noon. So it became in tavara. Yani navara became in tavara. Means he waited. In tavara, he waited. Note that this is not bab in fa'ala. Yani that noon from the verb navara can be misleading. Okay, so this is not the bab in fa'ala. In the bab in fa'ala, the added letters are the hamzatul wasl with kasra and the noon. But here the noon is not from the pattern of in fa'ala. The noon is from the root letters of the verb itself. Alright, so please pay attention, yani, to this fine point, because sometimes it could be confusing. Yani, the bab in fa'ala, which has added to the beginning of it hamzatul wasl with kasra and noon, can appear to be in a verb that begins with noon. Yani, we might think that on the pattern of if ta'ala, where we have hamzatul wasl being added, if the first root letter is a noon, it may seem like in fa'ala. It may seem like in fa'ala. But in reality, this is if ta'ala. If ta'ala. So the noon is not an added letter, as in fa'ala, but the noon is actually the first root letter that is preceded by kasra and followed by ta. Alright, so note that this is not bab in fa'ala, where the hamza and the noon are added, because the noon in this, in tavara, the noon is actually the first radical. It's not an added letter. It's the first root letter of the verb, and ta is extra. Another example is mahana. Mahana. Mim, ha, and noon. So on the pattern of if ta'ala, we're going to add hamzatul wasl with kasra before the mim. I'm going to add ta after, so it became imtahana. Imtahana means he examined. Imtahana, to examine, to test, to examine something, to look at it and examine it. Okay, so that's the past tense form. Before we go to the mudari, present tense form, and the amr and the master, we're going to have this discussion of what I alluded to in the beginning, al-ibdal, what is called al-ibdal. Ibdal means that one letter takes the place of another letter. Okay, a letter takes the place of another letter. Here we have the extra ta. The ibdal here is the extra ta. The letter that is added after the first root letter, after the first radical, this extra ta changes to del or changes to ta according to the rules that are explained below. Alright, so the letter ta is the letter that we're going to have ibdal. That letter, in certain situations, is going to change to a del, and in other situations, it's going to change to a pa. And that's going to be explained now. So when does it change to del? A, if the first radical is del, or zay, or thou, the extra ta changes to del. Okay, so when does the ta, the extra ta that's added, when does it change to del? If the first radical is a del, then the ta that follows it is going to be changed to del. So now you have two dels. If the first radical, first root letter is a del, then the extra ta after it is exchanged from ta to del. Likewise, if the first root letter, the first radical, is zay, then the extra ta following that zay changes to del. And the same thing, if the first radical, the first root letter, if the first radical is thou, then the ta after the thou is exchanged for del. Alright? So the letter that we're going to bring in to replace the extra ta, the letter that we're going to bring in is going to be a del. In the case where the first radical is del or thou or zay. Any of those three letters is the first root letter, then the extra ta after it becomes del. Okay, let's look at some examples. The first example they gave us is the verb da'a. Da'a, to call or to supplicate or to invite. Da'a. So, if we put it in the bab of if ta'ala, yani the first radical is del, right? And we said if the first radical is del or thel or zay, the extra ta after that del or that thel or that zay, that extra del is going to be exchanged, replaced by a del. So the first radical is here del, so the ta that comes after it is going to be exchanged for a del. So that's how we get id da'a. And you have id, the first del is the first root letter, and then after it you have the ta that's changed to another del. So we wrote the del once with shadda, it became id da'a. Yani, its original form according to the pattern of ifta'ala would have been id ta'a. Yani, the first radical is del from da'a. So we add to it hamzatul wasl with kasra, and then we follow it with an extra ta. Because the first root letter is del, the ta becomes del. So the first del has sukun, the second del has the vowel of the ta, fatha. And because we have two letters back to back, if the first one has sukun, you write them once with shadda. So id ta'a became id da'a. Written one del with shadda. Id da'a. Id da'a. Id ta'a became id da'a. Okay, that's the first example. The next example they gave us is from dhakara. Dhakara. Yani he mentioned something, right? So if we transfer to the bab if ta'ala, yani since the first root letter is thou, and we said if it's thou, thou, or zay, we exchange the extra ta after that letter to a del. So the first letter in dhakara is thou. Therefore, when we add hamzatul wasl with kasra before the thou, and then after it, we're going to add the extra ta, which we're going to exchange for del. So it became iz dakara. Yani dhakara became iz, yani it should have been iz takara, but the ta is exchanged for del, so it became iz dakara. That's how we got iz dakara. He remembered. In place of iz takara, the ta became del. With the assimilation, now this is a special case. This is not the general rule, but in this particular case, because the first letter is thou, and the ta after it is exchanged to a del, so there's a second assimilation, yani to make it easier to pronounce, they have exchanged thou for del. So the form iz dakara became, yani instead of thou, it became del as well. The ta became del, and the original root letter thou also became del. So you have two dels. The first one has sukun, so you write it once with shadda. It became, instead of id, or instead of iz from dakara, iz dakara, it became id dakara, id dakara. Okay, so there are actually two assimilations here. Or there's ibdal, I should say. There's ibdal of the ta to a del, and then there's assimilation of the idgham of the thal into del. So instead of idhakara, we have iddakara with shadda on the del. Iddakara. This is a special case. The general rule is that if the first letter is del, thal, or zay, the ta after that letter is exchanged for a del. This is a special case in which the thal itself, the first radical, yani becomes assimilated into the del, so you have two dels. And if there's one other example like this that I have seen, and I don't know if there are many cases of this. This is probably something that's rare, but the other case that has the same extra assimilation here is in the verb dhakhara. And the verb that we have in the example is dhakara with kaf. But another example is dhakhara with the letter kha instead of ka. So the verb dhakhara, which means to store up something, yani to store away something or to keep it or preserve it, yani dhakhara, if we transfer it to the bab, if ta'ala, then because the first letter is dhal, just like in the example they gave us of dhakara, then the ta after it becomes del. And again, just like we did in this example, special rule, that thal is assimilated into the del, so dhakhara, when we transferred it to the bab, if ta'ala became, yani, idh ta, with a ta, idh ta'khara, the ta is exchanged to a del, so it became idh dakhara, thal and del, idh dakhara, and then the thal is assimilated into the del, so you have two dels and it became id-dakhara. So this is very similar to the example that they gave us here, where not only is the ta exchanged, ibdal, it's not only the ta is exchanged for a del, but also the thal, which is the first letter, also is assimilated into that del, and it became one del with shadda. Alright, so that's another example of this, and I don't know if there are many examples, but in any case, that's a special rule. The general rule is, whenever a verb, the first root letter of it is del or thal or zay, and it's transferred to the bab, if ta'ala, the ta, after that first root letter, becomes del. The ta becomes del. That's our first rule here, and this is just a special case where there's assimilation as well. And that's not so common, and I don't know if there are many other examples of it. Okay, the second situation where we have ibdal, the exchanging of one letter for another letter, is B. We're on page 102, near the top of the page, B. It says here, if the first radical is sad, bad, ta, or va, and these letters come together in the alphabet, sad, bad, ta, and va, any one of these four letters, if the first radical is one of them, the extra ta that's going to come after that sad or that bad or that pa or that va, the extra ta changes to pa. So in the first rule, we have the extra ta being changed to a del. And in this rule, we have the extra ta being changed to a pa. Pa, the letter pa. For example, from the verb sabara, sabara. Yani to be patient. Sabara. If we transfer to the bab, if ta'ala, then what we would come up with is sad being preceded by hamza til wasl with kasra, and sad being followed by ta. So sabara became is-ta-ba-ra with ta. Is-ta-ba-ra. But because the first letter is sad, ba, ta, or va, the ta becomes ta. And so it becomes is. Instead of istabara, 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 which means he had patience for something. He had patience. He had patience, yani, with whatever. So, what should have been istabara became istabara. The ta is exchanged for ta. Whenever the first root letter, the first radical is sad, dad, ta, or va, then the extra ta becomes pa. The second example is the first root letter is a dad, as in dabara, to hit or strike. So when we transfer to the bab if ta'ala, the dad is preceded by Hamzatul Wasl with Kasra, and is followed by the extra Ta, so it became Idh-Ta-Ra-Ba. Yani Dharaba became Idh-Ta-Ra-Ba. And here the rule is, if the first radical is Sad or Dad, or Ta-Dha, then the extra Ta becomes Ta, so Idh-Ta-Ra-Ba became Idh-Ta-Ra-Ba. Idh-Ta-Ra-Ba. He was in a state of unrest. Something, yani, that's not stable. Or someone that is not stable. The third example is for the letter Ta. If the first root letter is Ta, as in Tala'a, for something to rise, Tala'a, then if we transfer to Bab Ifta'ala, we have Hamzatul Wasl with Kasra before the first letter Ta, followed by the extra letter Ta. And the rule here is what? If the first letter is Sad, Ba, Ta, Ba, the extra Ta becomes Ta. So the first root letter is Ta, and the extra Ta following it becomes Ta. So we have one Ta written with Shadda, because the first one has Sukoon. It became Ittala'a. He knew, or he came to know, or he became acquainted with something. Ittala'a. Yani originally it was Ittala'a. Ta, but it became Ittala'a. The last example is for the fourth of those four letters, Sad, Da, Ta, Da. If the first root letter is any one of those letters, the extra Ta following it becomes Ta. So we have Va, La, Ma, Valama. Yani to do wrong to someone, to oppress someone, injustice. If we transfer to Bab Ifta'ala, it became Iv, Talama. Yani Hamzatul Wasl with Kasra preceding the Va, Ta following it, that Ta becomes Ta. So we have Iv Talama. Instead of Iv Talama, Iv Talama. Iv Talama. Yani to put up with wrong. To put up with wrongdoing. Okay, so this is the Ibdal that's particular to this particular Bab. If Ta'ala, that extra Ta, after the first radical, can be exchanged. In certain circumstances, it will be exchanged. It must be exchanged. Yani the extra ta must be exchanged for a del if the first root letter is del, vel, or zay, and it must be exchanged for a ta if the first root letter is sad, da, ta, or va. Alright, so that's ibdal. It's just a matter of remembering that in this bab iftala, if the first radical is del or vel or zay, or Sad, or Dad, or Ta, or Dad, there's going to be Ibdal. The extra Ta is going to be exchanged for a Del or a Ta, depending on if it comes under the first rule of Del, Vel, and Zay, becomes Del, or Sad, Dad, Ta, and Dad, becomes Ta. Alright, so that's the Ibdal. Now there's one further rule, and that is, it says here after that fourth example, after Valama, if the first radical of the verb that's transferred to this bab, if the first radical is wow. Now we just looked at if the first radical is del, vel, or zay, or sad, da, ta, ava. We have one more rule, and that is if the first radical is wow, it gets assimilated, idgham, into the extra ta. And here the ta is not replaced, so it's not ibdal, but rather it's assimilation. The wow is assimilated into the ta. So, for example, the verb wahada, if we transfer it to the bab ifta'ala, it became, yani, the wow, the first radical is preceded by hamzatul wasl with kasra, and followed by ta, it became il tahada. So in this case, the first radical being wa, the wow is assimilated into the ta, so instead of il tahada, it became it tahada. Yani, the wow became ta. You have two ta's. The first one has sukoon, so they merged. One ta is written with shadda. Ittahada. Ittahada means it was united or brought together. Another example of this situation where the first radical is wow in the bab ifta'ala, and that wow is assimilated into the ta, is the verb waqa. Waqa. If it is transferred to the bab, yani, if ta'ala, Then Hamzatul Wasl with Kasra is placed before the waw and ta follows it. It became il taqa. Il taqa. The waw is assimilated into the ta. It became it taqa. It taqa. Naam. So there are three rules here that we have to pay attention to. And in the bab ifta'ala, there's going to be ibdal, or there's going to be yani assimilation, depending on the first radical, the first root letter being del, vel, or zay, or if it is sad, da, ta, da, or if it is wow. These rules are very, very important. They're not that complicated. Once you become familiar with it, it will become yani easy to apply. Okay, now let's go on to the other matters that we looked at in the previous babs of Thulathi Mazid. We looked at after the past tense, yani the past tense form here, ifta'ala, like imtahana. We're going to look at the mudari. Okay, so we're in the middle of page 102, and it says here that the mudari, harfu al-mudara'ati, takes fatha. For example, from intadara, past tense form, we get yantadiru. Yani in other words, when we prefix the harf al-mudara'a, when we prefix it to yani the form of the verb to make it mudari, the vowel here is going to be fatha. Okay, we said in some of the previous babs that it becomes dhamma, and that's if the letters became four, as in af'ala, or fa'ala, or fa'ala. In those babs, yani the harf mudari'a will get dhamma. So from allama you get yu'allimu. From aslama you get yuslimu. And so on like that. So here, since it is not four letters, then the harf mudari'a takes fatha and the middle radical takes kasra in the mudari. So you have here, yani the example they gave us, yani intadara became yan. Qadiru, the middle radical next to the last letter, va, takes kasra, which means he waits in yantadiru, he is waiting. The second example they gave us is ibtasama, yani the original root is basama, yani here we have hamzatul wasl with kasra preceding the first radical ba, ta following it, ibtasama, yani in the mudari, yani add the mudari letter, ya, and with fatha became yab. Tasimu, yani the second radical next to the last letter seen here, takes kasra. Yantaziru yabtasimu, he smiles, or he is smiling. Another example they gave us, istama'a. Istama'a. Yani istama'a, he listens, or he is listening. In the mudari, we prefix the harf mudari'a, ya here, with fatha became yastami'u. Yani the second radical next to the last letter of the root letters takes kasra. Yantaziru yabtasimu yastami'u. So the harf mudari is going to take fatha, and the second root letter, the second radical next to the last letter, is going to take kasra. Another example they gave us is he selected, chose something. Ikhtara. So in the mudari it became yakhtaru. Yani the mudari'a letter takes fatha. And this is the irregular verb here. Yani the next to the last radical, which should have been ya, would have taken kasra. So it should have been yakhtayiru. Yakhtariyu. Yakhtayiru. But here, instead of the ya, yani they elongated the fatha on the ta, and it became yakhtaru. So the ya became alif. And instead of yakhtayiru, it became yakhtar. Yakhtaru. He selects, or he is selecting. And we'll see some other examples like this, where the ya, in the original form of the verb, becomes alif. Alright, after the mudari, the amra, the fi'l amra. And the fi'l amr here is formulated the same way we formulate in other verbs, and that is that, yani we take the second person form of the verb, get rid of the harf mudari'a, and make the last radical sakin with sukun. That's how we form the fi'l amr. Same thing here. After the omission of the harf mudara, the verb commences with a second letter. So hamzatul wasl is to be prefixed to it. Yani, so two things we did here. Number one, we got rid of the harf mudara, and number two, we made the last radical, the ra, in this verb, we made it sakin. But when we got rid of the harf mudara, the first letter that comes, yani the original first root letter, has sukoon. Yani the mudari form is tantadhiru. When we get rid of the ta, the remaining letter is sakin. So we have to add hamzatul wasl. In the same way, when we had kataba taktubu, yani we had uktub, we had to add hamzatul wasl. After we get rid of the ta, we had to add hamzatul wasl because the first letter, yani, is sakin. So we have to add hamzatul wasl. So here the same thing. Tantadhiru, get rid of the ta and made the last radical sakin, sukoon. And now we add hamzatul wasl with kasra, it became intadhir. From tantadhiru, get rid of the ta, it became intadhir with sukoon on the ra, intadhir. So they only gave us one example here, but let's look at a couple of other examples of the verbs they gave us before they gave us. For example, ibtasama. So here the formulation of the fi'l amr would be from tabtasimu. Tabtasimu, get rid of the ta, make the last letter sakin, add hamzatul wasl. Ibtasim, smile. That's a command to smile. The same thing from istama'a, to listen. Yani from tastami'u, get rid of the ta, make the last letter ayn sakin, add hamzatul wasl. Istami', listen. And the same thing from, did they give us ijtama'? I don't know, I wrote ijtama' here for some reason. Anyway, so from the other verbs that from this bab is, yani, ijtama'a, yajtami'u. From tajtami'u, get rid of the ta, make the last letter ayn sakin, and it became ijtami'. Alright, so this is how the fi'l amr is performed. Just like we did with previous verbs, get rid of the ta of the harf mudari, make the last letter sakin, and if what's left begins with sukoon, we have to add hamzatul wasl and the appropriate vowel. As far as the masdar, it is on the pattern of iftial. For example, from intadara yantadiru, intidarun. On the pattern of iftial. Yani the first radical takes sukoon, as it already had in yani intadara. The second radical, yani the extra ta, the extra ta takes kasra as it had in the mudari form. Anyway, it takes kasra because it's on the pattern of if tl. So the ta takes kasra, and the ayn, the second radical, yani takes fatha elongated by alif. Okay, so hamzatul wasl with kasra, this is the pattern of if tl. Hamzatul wasl with kasra. First radical takes sukoon, the extra ta takes kasra. The second radical takes fatha elongated by alif. So from intadara, you get intidharun. From ijtama'a, you get ijtima'un. From ikhtara, you get yani ikhtiyarun. And from iltaqa, you get iltiqa'un, which originally should be iltiqa'yun. The ya, as we've seen in the previous bab, the ya as the last letter becomes hamza. The ya becomes hamza. So intidhar, yani waiting. The master means someone is waiting. Ijtima', gathering. Ikhtiyar, choosing or selecting. Iltiqa', meeting. Alright, it's on the pattern of iftial. All we have to do is yani make the first radical sakin and the extra ta kasra, the second radical fatta elongated by alif. Okay, after that we have ism fa'il, ism maf'ul, ism makan, and ism zaman. The ism fa'il and the ism maf'ul, generally they have the same form, except ism fa'il takes kasra and the ism maf'ul takes fatta on the next to the last letter, the second radical, right? So the same thing here. These are formed by replacing the harf al-mudara'ati with mu. The second radical, yani next to the last letter, takes kasra in the ism fa'il, and it takes fatha in the ism maf'ul. So for example, from imtahana, yani the mudari is yamtahinu. So the harf mudari, the ya before the meme becomes meme with dhamma. So it became yamtahin, became mumtahin. Except that in the mudari form, the last letter takes dhamma, and in the ism fa'il or ism maf'ul, the last radical takes tanween, because it's a noun, it's not a verb, right? So yamtahinu became, instead of yam, became mumtahinu. The ya with fatha is replaced by meem with dhamma. Mumtahinun. That's the ism fa'il, yani the one who examines, examiner. And mumtahanun, the second radical next to the last letter, takes fatha in the ism maf'ul. So it became mumtahanun, the one who is examined. Mumtahinun with kasra, the fa'il, ism fa'il, mumtahanun, yani the one, the ism maf'ul, the one who is examined. Okay, in the mudaf, yani the fi'l mudaf, and in the ajwaf, both the ism fa'il and the ism maf'ul have the same form. Yani in verbs that are from mudaf, yani where they have, yani a doubled letter, the second and third letter are the same, or in the yani verbs that are ajwaf, where the middle radical is a weak letter. In those cases, the ism fa'il and the ism maf'ul, which normally are distinguished by ism fa'il taking kasra on the middle radical and ism maf'ul taking fatha on the middle radical, there's no distinction here, but rather in the mudaf and the ajwaf verbs, both the ism fa'il and the ism maf'ul yani have the same form. So for example, from ishtaqqa, yashtaqqu, yani this is a mudaf verb because it has two qafs, right? Yashtaqqu, he derives something from somewhere. So you have mushtaqqun, mushtaqqun, which stands for or is in place of what should have been, according to the pattern, should have been mushtaqiqun, yani the second radical, which is next to the last letter, should have taken kasra, but because it loses its vowel by them being joined together, the two qafs, because it's a mudaf verb, so when those two letters are joined together, the vowel of the second radical, the first of the doubled letters, that vowel is lost. So in this case, there's no distinction between the ism fa'il, which should have taken kasra, or the ism maf'ul, which should have taken fatha, because the second radical loses its vowel, so there's no distinction between the fa'il and the maf'ul. So for example, in mushtaq, yani mushtaqun, which stands for or is in the place of mushtaqiqun for the ism fa'il, and mushtaqaqun for the ism maf'ul, there's no distinction between them. In the original form, should have had the middle radical, the first qaf, taking kasra if it was ism fa'il, and taking fatha if it's ism maf'ul, but because that radical is merged into the last radical, one qaf written with shadda, so the first one doesn't take a vowel, and in that case we don't have any distinction between the fa'il and the maf'ul by the fatha or the kasra. So in the same way, Yakhtar, which is an ajwaf verb, Yakhtar, he selects, yani, mukhtarun, which stands for, or, yani, is in place of what should have been mukhtayirun, yani, the second radical, the second root letter, should have been ya with kasra for the ism fa'il, and it should have been ya with fatha for the ism maf'ul, but because that ya is converted to alif, therefore, it doesn't take a vowel, so we don't have the distinction of ism fa'il with kasra and ism maf'ul with fatha. So which the distinction should have been mukhtayirun and mukhtayarun, yani the next to the last letter, the second radical taking kasra or fatha. Since yani that ya is converted to alif, we don't see the vowel fata, nor do we see the vowel kasra, so we have no distinction between these two forms. That's in the mudaaf verb, where the middle radical is merged into the last radical, and in the ajwaf verb, where the ya is converted to an alif. So there's no distinction between the ism fa'il and ism maf'ul. Rather, from the context of the sentence, we can know what is intended here. Is it the one doing the action or the one to whom the action is done? That's for ism fa'il and ism maf'ul. As far as the ism makan and zaman, the noun of place and time, it is the same as the ism maf'ul, as we said in the previous abwab. Yani, it has the same form of the ism maf'ul. And again, from the context, we know if what is intended is ism maf'ul, or ism makan, or ism zaman. Yani, meaning that the second radical, the next to the last letter, for makan and zaman, takes fatha. So the same thing here, yani, for example, yani, ijtama'a, yajtami'u, yani, the ism makan, here would be just like the ism maf'ul, yani mujtama'un. Mujtami'un is ism fa'il, mujtama'un is ism maf'ul or ism makan or ism zaman. Mujtama'un. From the context, we know that the meaning here, mujtama'a, yani we would know from the context that what is intended here is the place of gathering, ism makan, which means the place of gathering, the society. Okay, another example that they gave us is multazamu. Yani al-multazamu, which means the place of embracing. So this is a ism makan from iltazama, yaltazimu. Multazim is the one, the fa'il. Multazam is the maf'ul or the makan or zaman. Here al-multazamu is what represents the ism makan, the place of embracing, the place of iltazama, yani Al-Multazamu. It is the name given to the part of the Kaaba which lies between the black stone and the door of the Kaaba, and it's given this name because it is sunnah to embrace this part of the Kaaba, meaning that a person stands against the wall in between the black stone and the door of the Kaaba. The door of the Kaaba comes here as you're walking around the Kaaba, and at the end on the corner is the black stone. So before you get to the corner, in between that corner and the door is a space, it's called the multazim, and it's a place where a person stands with their chest against the wall and their arms outstretched, touching the wall, and it's a place of dua, supplication. Now, okay, so this is the end of the bab ifta'ala, the past tense, the present tense. Yani, the present tense is just like other present tense forms. The fi'l amr is formulated just like other command or imperative forms. The masdar has its own pattern, yani for each of these abwab, thulathi, mazid, they all have their own pattern. The pattern here is iftial, like intidar or ijtima, and so on. The ism fa'il and maf'ul is just like we said, yani with previous abwab, that is, yani the harf mudara, yani is replaced, yani by mim with dhamma, and the next to the last letter, the second radical, yani takes kasra, it's if it's ism fa'il, and it takes fatah, if it's ism maf'ul, and the ism makan and zaman is the same as the ism maf'ul, it takes fatah on the next to the last letter, the second radical. Alright, so that is the bab ifta'ala, and we're going to be looking at this in more detail when we look at the Arabic text. We're going to see examples of it, and when we look at the Arabic explanation, we'll see yani what we have discussed here being explained in Arabic. The second point here in this English key is related to the same matter, the bab ifta'ala, and it says here that number two, we're on page 103, almost halfway down the page, it says number two, as in bab infa'ala, the previous bab that we discussed in lesson 22, the hamzatul wasl is omitted in this bab also when hamzatul istifham is prefixed to the verb. And just as we said in the bab infa'ala, if hamzatul istifham is prefixed to the verb, the hamzatul wasl that it begins with, yani, is omitted. Just like in bab infa'ala, the same thing in this bab if ta'ala, if you want to change a statement into a question, and the first word is a verb from bab if ta'ala, just as it was with in fa'ala, the hamzatul wasl that it begins with, the extra letter hamzatul wasl, is omitted. Okay, so for example, we say antadhartani, yani did you wait for me, which originally was a antadhartani. A antadhartani, yeah, antadhartani means you waited for me. If I want to change that into a question, I add hamzatul wasl, so it should have been a antadhartani, but in this bab, as in the previous bab, yani when you use hamzatul wasl, yani prefix to the verb from this form, the hamzatul wasl, when you yani use hamzatul istifham, prefix to the verb of this form, the hamzatul wasl is omitted. So a antadhartani became antadhartani, yani have you waited for me? In the Quran, in 37th surah, 153rd ayat, yani we have astafa al-banati ala al-banina, yani has he preferred, has Allah preferred or chosen to have daughters to sons, yani has he preferred to have daughters instead of sons, as they attributed to him, and either the angels or the daughters of Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here, has he preferred to have daughters over sons? Which is interesting, because of course it is all false, but the point is that the Arabs preferred sons, but they wanted to give daughters to Allah. They wanted to attribute daughters to Allah, and they didn't want to have daughters, they wanted to have sons. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to them, astafa al-banati ala al-banina, yani has he preferred daughters over sons? You didn't prefer it like that. And yani, and ultimately in the end of it all, it's all false, yani Allah doesn't have daughters or sons, but the point is, yani, that they preferred sons, but they attributed daughters to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The grammar rule here, or the sarf rule here, yani in terms of the construction of words, is that this word is originally istafa with hamzatul wasl and kasra. When you prefix to it hamzatul istifham, the hamza that's used to ask a question, yani instead of saying a istafa, you say astafa. That's the rule here, yani that's related to bab if ta'ala, just as it was previously in the previous chapter, yani applied to in fa'ala. Okay, now we're going to the third point. We're still on page 103, on the bottom half of the page. We have learnt either, meaning if, or when, in lesson 14. It is also used to express surprise. Yani the same word either, that means if something or when something happened, yani that same word is sometimes used with a different meaning to express surprise. On hearing a knock at the door, you go out expecting to see your old friend, but lo and behold, you find a policeman waiting for you. Surprise. To express this unexpected turn of events, yani something that wasn't expected, you were surprised by it, you use either al-fuja'iyya. إذا الفوجائية, which means the إذا of surprise. For example, خرجت فإذا شرطي بالباب. I went out and to my surprise, فإذا, to my surprise, there was a policeman, شرطي بالباب, at the door. If one of us throws his walking stick, nothing happens except that its position changes from vertical to horizontal. But when Musa عليه السلام dropped his stick, his staff that he was carrying, something unexpected happened. Yani what nobody expected to happen. It turned into a snake. The Quran uses إِذَا الْفُوجَائِيَّ, the إِذَا of surprise, to express this event. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, in 7th surah, 107th and 108th ayat, بَعْدَ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ فَأَلْقَى أَصَاهُ فَإِذَا هِيَ ثُعْبَانٌ مُبِينٌ فَأَلْقَى أَصَاهُ. So he dropped or he threw down his stick or his staff. فَإِذَا, and to their surprise, هِيَ ثُعْبَانٌ مُبِينٌ, it was a snake, visible. And then Allah says, وَنَزَعَ يَدَهُ, and he drew his hand from his bosom, and he took his hand out. فَإِذَا هِيَ بَيْضَاءُ لِلنَّاظِرِينَ, and to their surprise, it was white to the beholders. بَيْضَاءُ لِلنَّاظِرِينَ. And the scholars of tafsir, yani, some of them explained it in different ways, but the meaning here is that, yani, هِيَ بَيْضَاءُ, yani, it was without anything wrong with it. It wasn't defective. It didn't have any illness or sickness. Yani, it was, yani, healthy and pure and whole. So the point here is what? That, yani, this either, which we learned previously to mean if or when something happens, yani, either ja'a nasrullahi wal fat, yani, if or when the help of Allah comes, yani, this also has another usage, and that is to express surprise. Okay, note here, two things should be noted here. There are two things that we have to pay attention to in reference to either al-fujaiyah. On the bottom of page 103, it just has one line, it says two things. Two things should be noted here. On the top of page 104, it says A and then B. A is fa is usually prefixed to either. Fa is usually prefixed to either. And so, if you look at the examples that we had here in the Quran, fa either here, fa aban al mubin, and also fa either here, baydaw lil nadirin. And even the example that he gave outside of the Quran, kharajtu fa'idha shurtiyun bilbab. So there are a couple of things here that we want to note. The first of them is that this fa is usually prefixed. A fa is usually prefixed to either. That's the first thing. The second thing is the mubtada occurring after either of surprise may be indefinite. It may be indefinite. It's possible that the sentence may begin with a mubtada that's indefinite. And this is particular to what? Either al-fujaiya. So you might say, for example, دخلت الغرفة فإذا حية على السرير. I entered the room and to my shock and surprise, there was a snake on the bed. A snake. يعني حية is indefinite. But the word that comes after إذا can be indefinite. يعني in the original sentence without إذا حية على السرير, يعني would be improper to say without إذا, because حية is the مبتدأ, and if the مبتدأ is indefinite and the خبر على السرير, يعني in the خبر is a شبه جملة, then the order of the sentence is reversed. The مبتدأ is coming second, is delayed, and the khabar ala sariri will come first. So you would say ala sariri hayyatun. You wouldn't say hayyatun ala sariri. But it is permissible for the mubtada to be indefinite after either al-fujaiya. Otherwise, in a normal sentence without either fujaiya, it's not proper to say hayyatun ala sariri. Rather, you have to say ala sariri hayyatun. And that's the rule, and related to the jumla ismiya. If the mubtada is indefinite and the khabar is a shibba jumla, yani ja'a wal majrur or dharf, then the order of the sentence is reversed. The mubtada comes second and the khabar comes first. Not so after either fujaiya, yani the noun that comes after it, mubtada, can be indefinite. Those are the two things that we wanted to say about either fujaiya, the either that expresses surprise. The next point is point number four. Near the top of page 104, it says the verb vanna takes two objects, yani two maf'ulun bi, which are originally mubtada and khabar. Yani vanna is used with a sentence, a jumla ismiya has mubtada and khabar, and those two, mubtada and khabar in the original sentence, both of them become objects of vanna. Again, the verb vanna takes two objects, which are originally the mubtada and khabar of a jumla ismiya. For example, أَظُنُّ الْإِمْتِهَانَ قَرِيبًا. The original sentence, I think the examination is near. أَظُنُّ, Yani dhanna means to think, yani to not be sure about something. So when you say adhunnu al-imtihana qariban, in this sentence al-imtihana is maf'ul awwal, maf'ulun bi awwal, and qariban is maf'ulun bi thani. So adhunnu has two objects, two maf'ulun bi, the first and the second, which those two maf'ulun bi were originally mubtada and khabar, as we see in the original sentence al-imtihanu qaribun. Al-imtihanu qaribun, mubtada and khabar, both of them a marfu'un with dhamma. After the introduction of dhanna, they become the two objects of dhanna and they became mansub. Here, al-imtihana is the first object and qariban is the second object. They were originally, in the original sentence, al-imtihanu qaribun, the mubtada and the khabar. So what's the point? The verb dhanna takes two objects. Those two objects became mansub. They were originally, before the introduction of dhanna, they were mubtada and khabar, both being marfu, and now they became objects of dhanna and they became mansub. Naam, then it says, adhunnu al-mudira ya'ati ghadan. Okay, the original sentence is al-mudiru ya'ati ghadan. Yani the principal will be coming tomorrow. After the introduction of dhanna, we have adhunnu al-mudira ya'ati ghadan. I think the headmaster is coming tomorrow. Here al-mudira is the first object. It's mansub. The sign of being mansub is fatha. And the sentence, the whole sentence, ya'ati ghadan, is the second object. And because it's a sentence, even though it's the second object, maf'ulun bi thani, we don't say the whole sentence is mansub, but we say it is fi mahalli nasb. It's in the place where it should be mansub. Why is it in the place where it should be mansub? Because dhanna takes two objects, and both of them are maf'ul for it. So one of them, yani, is the maf'ul al-awwal, and the second one is the maf'ul al-thani. But here, if the maf'ul al-thani, yani, is a sentence, then instead of saying that it's mansub, we say it is in the place where it should be mansub. Yani, fi mahalli nasbin. Alright, so this is a point in which dhanna, the verb dhanna is used with a sentence, yani a jumla ismiya, but the khabar of that jumla ismiya is a sentence. So the sentence is the second maf'ul, but it's fi mahalli nasb. Okay, another point related to dhanna, it may be followed by anna with shadda from akhawatu inna, or it may be followed by an, yani noon with sukoon. It may be followed by anna, which is from akhawatu inna, or it may be followed by an, the particle n. So the first case, they gave us a, where it's followed by anna. Al-imtihanu sahlun is the original sentence, yani mubtada and khabar. Both of them marfu'un with dhamma. Al-imtihanu sahlun, the examination is easy. Now the person wants to say, I think the examination is easy. Adhunnu anna, with shadda, anna al-imtihana sahlun. I think the examination is easy. In this sentence, the new sentence, adhunnu anna al-imtihana sahlun, here al-imtihana is ismu anna. In my book it says ismu inna, yani, but it's actually enna. So enna is from akhawatu inna, so the same rule is applicable, right? Here al-imtihana is ismu enna, and sahlun is khabaru enna, and the ism of enna is going to be mansub, and the khabar of enna is marfu'un, as we learned when we studied inna wa akhawatuha. Yani the ism of inna is mansub, the khabar of inna is marfu'un. So the same thing here with enna, yani anna al-imtihana. Al-imtihana is ism anna mansub al-fatha. Sahalun is the khabar of anna marfu'un with dhamma. In the Quran, 41st surah, 22nd ayah, we have بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ولكن ظننت أن الله لا ي... I'm sorry. لكن... I need my glasses. ولكن ظننتم أنتم ظننتم أن الله لا يعلم كثيرا مما تعملون. But you thought, لكن ولكن ظننتم, you thought أن الله, that Allah, لا يعلم كثيرا, that he does not know much, مما تعملون, of what you are doing. You thought. In this sentence we see, يعني that after the verb ظن, يعني its form ظننتم أنتم, أن الله, يعني we see that it's used with أن here, and Allah, the love of Jalala, is the ism of أن, mansub with fatha, and the sentence لا يعلم كثيرا مما تعملون, that sentence is the khabar of أن. We say it is في محل نصب as the مفعول ثاني. The love of Jalala is مفعول الأول, and the sentence لا يعلم كثيرا is the second مفعول, مفعول بي ثاني. The whole sentence is said to be as maful thani fi mahalli nasb. The second way that dhanna may be followed is by the particle n, al masdariya n. And they gave us the example, the original sentence, yarsubu ahmadu, Ahmed will fail. And then we use yani dhanna ma dhanantu n yarsuba ahmadu, I did not think that Ahmed would fail. Yani ma dhanantu, I did not think, an yarsuba, an yarsuba Ahmadu, that Ahmed would fail. Yani here is the use of dhanna with the particle an al-masdariya. Yani this is a masdar mu'awwal, an yarsabu, yani the particle an and the mudari verb an yarsabu. So in any case here the point is what? That instead of yani there being two maf'ools, yani in place of the maf'ool we have the masdar mu'awwal an yarsuba dhanantu an yarsuba ahmadu, I did not think that Ahmad would fail. In the Quran we have in the 18th surah 35th ayah, ba'da a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, قال ما أظن أن تبيد هذه أبدا. قال يعني he said ما أظن, I do not think, أن تبيد هذه أبدا, I do not think that all this will ever perish, I do not think that it will perish, يعني هذه, all of these things, that it will أبدا, will ever يعني cease to exist. Okay, so the point here is that the verb dhanna, to summarize, the verb dhanna takes two objects, yani maf'ulun bi, awwal and thani. Those two objects are originally mubtada and khabar, jumla ismiya, which were originally as mubtada and khabar, marfu'un with dhamma, as yani the two objects of adhunnu, they both became yani maf'ulun bi, al awwal and thani, mansub with fatha. Likewise, in the sentence, the jumla ismiya, if the khabar is a sentence, we don't say it's, yani we say it's maf'ul thani fi mahalli nasb. Not that it is mansub, but yani maf'ul thani fi mahalli nasb. Likewise, dhanna may be used with the particles anna, which is from akhawatu inna, in which case, yani the ism of anna is going to be mansub and the khabar of anna is marfu'un, or it may be used with the particle an, yani al-masdariya, and it's used with the mudari verb as a masdar mu'awwal. So this is what is related to the verb dhanna. The fifth point, let me look at the time here. Okay, tell you. The fifth point is a nice, interesting fine point, easy to follow. It says, we're on the bottom of page 104, number 5, it says, we say, دَخَلْتُ الْبَيْتَ دَخَلْتُ الْمَسْجِدَ دَخَلْتُ الْغُرْفَةَ, I entered the house, the masjid, the room. But, unlike that, we say, دَخَلْتُ فِي الْإِمْتِهَانِ, ودخلتُ في الإسلامي. So in one case we have دخلتُ without any preposition, and in another case we have دخلتُ with the preposition في. That is, if what you enter is a place like the bait or the masjid or the ghurfa, if what you enter into is a place like a house or a masjid or a room, you don't use fi. If you say I entered the house, you don't have to say I entered in the house. You just say I entered the house. Otherwise, if it's not a place like a house or a room or a masjid or a store, you're not entering a real place, but you want to use the word dakhala to enter, but the thing that you're entering is not a place, then you have to use fi. If it's not a place, otherwise you have to use fi. In the Quran we have وَدَخَلَ جَنَّتَهُ, and he entered his garden. Okay, it's a real place, the garden. So there's no fi here. He didn't say دَخَلَ fi جَنَّتِهِ. He said دَخَلَ جَنَّتَهُ, he entered his garden. This is the 18th surah, 35th ayah. But in another ayah, in the 49th surah, 14th ayah, Allah says, وَلَمَّا يَدْخُلِ الْإِيمَانُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ, and faith has not yet entered into your hearts. Yani here, faith is entering into what? Not a place. It's the heart, the soul of the human being. Yani Islam, Iman has not yet entered into the hearts. So here, since it's not a place, to use the verb دَخَلَ يَدْخُلُ, you have to use fi. وَلَمَّا يَدْخُلِ الْإِيمَانُ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ, and faith has not yet entered into your hearts. فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. So here, because it's not an actual place that we're talking about faith entering into, so you use fi. And then it says, we have both these usages in the Quran, in the 89th surah, 29th and 30th ayat, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَدْخُلِي fi عبادي وادخلي جنتي, يعني so enter among my servants. In the first one, it's not a place, it's among my servants. فادخلي في عبادي, because it's not a place, you use في. وادخلي جنتي, جنة is a real place, so here you don't use في if it's a place. If it's not a place, you use في. So in this ayah we have two examples of the verb دخلا. One of them entering into a place, so fi is not used in the other one. It's not a place, in which case fi is used. Okay, this is point number five. Yani, the verb dakhala, if what you're talking about entering is a place, you don't use fi. If it's not an actual place, then that's when you use the preposition entering in, yani fi, or among, and so on, like this. Okay, point number six. Point number six is the patterns of intensity, yani mubalagha. It says point number six at the top of page 105. We have learnt ism al-fa'ili in lesson 4. Now we learn the pattern فَعَال, يعني with شَدَّ on the عَيْن and the vowel فَتَّ elongated by أَلِف. فَعَالٌ, يعني this pattern فَعَال denotes intensity in the ism al-fa'il. So the normal ism fa'il that we learned is يعني on the pattern of fa'il, يعني like كَاتِب from كَتَبَ or جَالِس from جَلَسَ. But if we want to express intensity, so we change the ism fa'il to the pattern fa'al. Yani where we double the middle radical with shadda and elongate its vowel, fatta alif. So it became fa'al. So for example, ghafirun, that's on the pattern of ism fa'il. Yani from ghafara, ghafirun, one who forgives. If we change it to the pattern fa'al, it became ghaffarun, one who forgives much. Likewise, Raziqun, on the pattern of fa'ilun, one who provides, on the pattern of fa'al became Razzaqun, one who provides much. And akilun from akala, on the pattern of fa'ilun, akilun, one who eats, on the pattern of fa'al became akalun, one who eats much. So this is the pattern of intensity for the ism fa'al, fa'al. And now we mention there are four other forms which denote intensity as well, besides fa'al. And by the way, this is used in the Quran in reference to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying that He is fa'alul lima yurid. He is the one who does whatever He wills. And this is the pattern of intensity. Yani He absolutely, completely, perfectly does whatever He wills, with no exceptions. So there are four other forms which denote intensity for the fa'il. Okay, it's the ism fa'il, the one who's doing the action. But for intensity, we have five patterns. The first one is fa'al. The second one is here, under the extra four patterns, a fa'ilun. Fa'ilun, like alimun, from alima. Alimun, yani alimun is the normal pattern of fa'il. Alimun, one who knows much. Sami'un, from samia. Sami'un is the original ism fa'il pattern. Sami'un, on the pattern of fa'ilun, is one who hears much. The second extra pattern is fa'ulun. For example, ghafurun, one who forgives much. The ism fa'il without yani intensity is yani ghafirun. Here on the pattern of fa'ul, ghafurun, one who forgives much. And shakurun, one who thanks much. The original ism fa'il is shakirun. Here is the intense form, shakurun, on the pattern of fa'ul. And then there's abusun, one who frowns much. The original ism fa'il is abisun, on the pattern of fa'ilun. And here's the intense form from fa'ulun, abusun. And then there's aqulun. Aqulun, one who eats much, on the pattern of fa'ulun. Yani the original ism fa'il is akilun. Here, aqulun, on the pattern of fa'ulun. The third extra intensity pattern is fa'ilun. Yani the first radical takes fetha, the second radical takes kasra. Fa'ilun. For example, hadirun, to be very cautious. Hadirun. And the last one, dal, or d, is mif'alun. For example, mi'ata'un. From, yani, ata, yu'ti. Yani, mu'ta'un, one who gives much. These five patterns, yani, fa'al, and the A, B, C, and D, fa'il, fa'ul, fa'il, and mif'al, these five patterns are called siyagu mubalagati ismi al-fa'ili. Siyag is from siga, means the pattern, a pattern. So siyag means patterns of mubalaga, denoting intensity. Mubalaga is yani the patterns that denote intensity. And the ism fa'il, yani intensity in the ism fa'il. So these five patterns are known as siyagh, siyagh, siyaghu mubalagati for the ism al-fa'ili. Patterns denoting intensity for the ism fa'il. And as we come to near the end of our time, not quite, but we have one more matter remaining. The seventh point on the bottom half of page 105, the expression la buddha. I think in my book it has la buddu with dhamma. It should be with fatha. La buddha min al ikhtibari. One must take the test. It literally means, la buddha literally means there is no escape. So the literal meaning of la buddha min al ikhtibari is there is no escape from the test. Yani you must take it. There's no way out. There's no excuse not to take it. La buddha means there's no escape. There's no way out. Alright, here the la in la buddha is la nafiyatu lil jinsi, which we have learnt in lesson 21. La nafiyatu lil jinsi, yani the absolute la of negation. So that means la buddha means there's absolutely no escape, no way out from whatever is mentioned after that. لَا بُدَّ مِنَ الْإِخْتِبَارِ يعني لابد من السفر and so on. يعني there's no escape from it. Here لا is لا نافي للجنس which we have learned in lesson 21. If a مصدر مؤول is used, من may be omitted. يعني the مصدر مؤول that we're talking about here is the particle N plus the مضاري verb. So for example, لابد أن تكتب له. لابد أن تكتب له. You must write to him. There's no way out. There's no escape from you having to write to him. يعني, so what we're saying here is what? If a مصدر مؤول is used, the من in لابد من الاختبار, يعني that من may be omitted. And you can just say لابد أن تكتب له instead of saying لابد من أن تكتب له. It may be, the من may be, it's permissible for it to be omitted. You must, يعني لابد أن تكتب له, you must write to him. Another example they gave us, لابد أن تسافر. You must travel. يعني there is no escape from you traveling. And again, because the مصدر مؤول, the أن المصدرية and the مضاري verb أن, I'm sorry, لابد أن نسافر. I don't know if I said we or I or you or whatever I said. I don't know. لابد أن نسافر. We must travel. There's no escape. There's no way out from us having to travel. Because of the مصدر مؤول coming after لابد, then it's permissible to omit the من. And the last example they gave us is لابد أن تتعلم تشغيل الحاسوب. لابد, يعني you must, there's no escape from you, أن تتعلم, learning, تشغيل, how to operate, الحاسوبي, the computer. Again, لابد, يعني the لا in لابد is لا النافية للجنس, means there's absolutely, it's absolute negation. So, mean, here the meaning is لابد, means that there's absolutely no way out, no escape from doing something. Yani means you must do it. This is what we wanted to cover for today. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. We will, in the next session, inshallah, you can start tonight or tomorrow, whenever you like. You don't have to wait for the homework assignment. You can go, yani the first part of the homework assignment is always going to be to review. Review what we covered today in the English key. Very, very important information. A lot of information, alhamdulillah, but nothing extremely difficult. So the first part of the homework assignment should be to review. The second part of the homework assignment is to read, write, and translate the dialogue at the beginning of the lesson on page 195 and 196, and then the exercises that follow. I don't know how many of the exercises we'll be able to do in the next session, but at least we're going to review quickly the English key that we did today. We're going to read and discuss and translate and analyze the dialogue on page 195 and 196, and then we're going to do some of the exercises. Yani, we're going to do maybe, I don't know, some portion of the exercises, and then in the following session, I think we'll finish the remaining exercises. So next week and the following week, we will be completing this lesson in the next 2 weeks, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. And also, let me just note that Ramadan is in front of us. We will be having classes in Ramadan. I hope some of you are able to attend. If you're not able to attend, it's understandable. I will try to do the best I can to reduce the amount of material we cover, so it doesn't become any difficulty on somebody who might, yani, have a lot of duties in Ramadan. I'll try to be considerate of that. The time in Ramadan will be reduced a little bit because we're going to join the two sessions together, the level 3 class and the level 4 class. We're going to put them in the same time slot between Dhuhr and Asr, so that after Asr, everybody's free to prepare for breaking fast, and whatever, traveling, going around town, cooking, whatever somebody has to do. We're going to have that time free from Asr to Maghrib. So we're going to join the two classes, level 3 and level 4, to one time slot between Dhuhr and Asr. So we're going to have to reduce the time of the class maybe by 15 minutes. So each class will be an hour and 15 minutes. And that way everybody gets to be free after Asr. May Allah make it easy for all of us and grant us success in the days ahead up until Ramadan, in preparation for it, by maybe fasting some days and reading Quran a little more and getting up in the night more than we normally do in preparation for Ramadan. May Allah grant us success in preparing, and may He allow us to live until that time and to witness Ramadan and to worship Him in that month of Ramadan in the best way possible. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for success for me and for each of you in doing whatever we do sincerely for His sake alone. in accordance with the Sunnah of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that he out of his kindness and generosity and mercy, may he recognize, record, and reward our good deeds, and pardon, overlook, and forgive our mistakes and errors, and grant us al-thabat, to remain steadfast and firm upon the sirat al-mustaqim until we return to him in a condition of being pleasing to him and pleased with him. May he grant a speedy recovery and complete recovery to those amongst us who are sick, and may he shower his mercy upon those who have passed away, fill their graves with light and make them spacious, and save them from the punishment of the grave and the punishment of the fire, and admit them into his paradise. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen.